God's hot. If you have your Bibles with you, would you please open them up to the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament? Jeremiah. I am going to be reading from the ESV translation. Jeremiah chapter 18. This is a story that I think is probably one of the most famous stories in the Old Testament, I would guess. But I think everybody knows it off by heart. Starting in verse 1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord: arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at the wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand. Just look at that sentence quickly. And think about this, that what God is showing Jeremiah is the way that God works with us. But look at that sentence. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hands. And he reworked it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to do. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. God speaks to Jeremiah and tells him to go down to the potter's house. And when he enters the potter's house, he sees the potter working with a piece of clay and making an object or a pot out of this clay. And while he's watching this, he realizes that the clay has failed in the potter's hands. That's a weird thing to think about. That in the hands of God, as is being portrayed through the potter, the clay has failed. And then the potter starts to make another piece. And then God finally asks them, aren't I allowed to do with you, O house of Israel, as the potter has done with this piece of clay? When we look at the way that clay is being, or the way they make pottery out of clays, and I am not a potter, but I actually did go down to a pottery studio once to go and see what they do. And what they would do is they would take a piece of clay and they would start knitting this clay, because the clay would still be a bit hard and it needs to be soft and knitted so that it would be flexible to work with. So they would knit and knit and knit, almost like you would do when you're making bread. They would knead it and knead it and knead it and make it soft and fold it over and then flatten it out, and then they would pull it back together again and start the whole process all over again until the clay is workable. You see, in our lives, most people give up even on that stage. When God even just begins to prepare you before he has even made what he wanted to make, it is painful. It is hard when God starts to push out all the bubbles and all of the spoiled areas in your life. It's hard. It's painful. But that's not even the building process yet. And then what they would do is they would put this piece of clay on a wheel, a potter's wheel, which is just a basic round wheel that you would put in front of you, and they would put some water on it, and then they would put that piece of clay on that wheel, and they would start to turn the wheel, and then the potter would start making this pot with his hands as he sees fit. And that is always the wonderful part in our lives, when we look at what God is busy doing and we love it, because we always feel so good about ourselves and we feel like we have finally made it. And when we look at our lives, if we're really honest with one another, I think that we can honestly say that God has done a pretty good job. He has done a good job with us. Lord knows I would never have been able to make it if He did not have His hands in this piece of clay. But then He says that the vessel that He was making spoiled or failed. And it is a remarkable sentence to me to think about a piece of clay, which means a life, a human, in the hands of God, and it fails while God is working. The ESV doesn't say it. I know the Afrikaans says it, but in Afrikaans it basically says that the clay has failed, as the clay sometimes does. It's funny that they left it out of here. But it is not the potter who had failed. In the Afrikaans and other translations, you will find it. It says that the clay has failed in the potter's hand, as clay does. But you see, we as human beings are born failures. And I know in this sissy age that we live in, we are not allowed to say stuff like that, because we just always need to be positive and everything. But the reality of life is that we are born failures. David says it so beautifully. He says, since the time I was born a sinner. We are born failures. Everything that we do without God is a failure. And there are so many people out there tonight, even while we are worshiping and enjoying His presence, out there they are failing at life. It doesn't make them bad people. That's not what I'm saying. But they are failing in life without Jesus. But then, this piece of clay was in the potter's hands, and this piece of clay failed. You know, when I read this week and just kind of meditated on it, I just started thinking by myself, how many times while we are serving God, and sometimes even at the highest point of our lives, when we feel spiritually great and we feel like we are finally getting somewhere and our prayer life is wonderful and everything is just going great, at the top of the mountain, suddenly a failing situation would just bring you tumbling down that mountain. You know, when I read the story of the transfiguration of Jesus, We talked about it in our Bible study, I think 2 weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken. We spoke about Jesus being transfigured or transformed into what He would look like when He comes back in all of His glory. And it's such a wonderful thing to see. And Peter, old big mouth Peter, always says the wrong thing at the wrong time and always the right thing at the right time. But Peter, looking at this, says, let us make camp here. Let's stay here. And Jesus says, no, let's go down. And when you read that story further, the first thing they encounter at the foot of that mountain is a demon. You see, we are sometimes this piece of clay, and we are at the top of the mountain, but yet we fail. We start tumbling down, and making just one little mistake can bring so much suffering. And at the end or at the foot of that mountain, when you come tumbling down, there will always be a demon waiting. Always. And the thing about this clay that had failed is that if this clay would speak, this clay would probably say to itself, I am not good enough for the potter to use. Look at the failures of my life. Look at the past failures. Look at the present failures. And I know there's going to be future failures. I am not good enough for the potter to work with. And I think most people, even if they are at a good place spiritually, most people always feel not good enough for the potter to use. If this were to be the end of this story, it would have been bad for the clay. But thank God for Jesus Christ, because the Bible says that God picked up that failure and He started to work again. And I want to tell you, it doesn't matter where you are in your life. It doesn't matter the failures, the mistakes you have made. I know in my own life, sometimes I would run into people that I knew years ago. My wife and I would run into people that I knew years ago, 20 years ago. And they would look at me and they would start telling my wife all the bad secrets I had. And you feel so stupid. Some of them are funny, and I mean, it's not she knows everything about me, but. And they would always look at me and they would always say two things. I never thought that you would get a wife. It's the truth. Yep. And the second thing is, I never thought you would be a preacher. And when we meet people, they are so quick to remind us of our failures, like the devil at the foot of the mountain. But thank God that God uses the broken pieces in life, and He takes the nothings of this life and He turns them into somebody for Christ Jesus. My dad always used to say, God can draw the straightest lines with the most crooked sticks. Now, you know, when the potter starts to work, well, I was sitting there that one day and just looking at them working, and I saw this woman working with this vessel. And when she's finished with the vessel and she's happy with the vessel, she takes it off, and then they go and put it in a cupboard somewhere for it to dry off. You know, this is a very lonely place to be on that cupboard, because you are finished but not yet usable. And the problem again with most of us is that the silent times that we perceive most of the time as being a bad thing is sometimes the best thing. When we feel separated from God, when we feel like we have been placed on a shelf somewhere, there's nothing else that God can do, this is it, we are now just decorative stuff on a shelf somewhere. But it is not God who has left you. It is not God who has forgotten about you. Because every now and again, the potter would stand up and go to that pot and test the pot to see if it is dry enough for the next step. It is not God forgetting about you on the shelves of life. It is God preparing you for the best that is yet to come. And then when the potter would finally feel that this pot is dry enough, he would start to paint on it. I never knew that they did it like that, that they painted on the clay before it is baked. I never knew that. And they would paint on this piece of clay, whatever design they would want on it. And then comes the horrifying part of this entire process. Now, we have had a piece of clay fail. That's bad. But then God picked it up and He made something new. Then the clay was placed somewhere in the shelf and forgotten about for a while, but then God took it again. But now the bad thing comes, the fire. Then that piece of clay needs to be placed in a furnace, in an oven, where the fire will make this piece of clay hard. You see, if the piece of clay isn't hard, it will never hold any substance. I'm going to say it again. If the piece of clay isn't hard, it will never hold any substance. If you pour water into that piece of clay, it'll just turn soft again and fall apart. That's why God needs to put us through the oven of life. He needs to crank up that heat. He needs to make sure that the flames are hot enough for you to become hard enough. And that's a bad place sometimes. God puts you in situations and you look at this and you think, God, I never did anything wrong. I'm really serving you. Yes, I make mistakes. Yes, all of this is true. But God, I'm serving you. Why is hell literally breaking out around me? I can feel the flames licking my feet. But in that oven, God is making you hard. Because you see, my dear brother and sister, if you really want to be used by God, you have to be hard. You have to be hard. You have to have a thick crocodile skin. Pastor Dougie will tell you he's been in the ministry for quite a while now. And Jurgens will also tell you he's one of the preachers for the bikers. And they will tell you the criticism you get for sometimes just doing nothing. How people will trample on you and over you and push you aside. Where you will try and help people and they will just turn around and stab you in the back. Life is hard. But God has designed it like that. The Bible said, Jesus actually asked his disciples this question, are you willing to be baptized with the baptism that I will be baptized in? Speaking about his cross and the suffering that he will go through. He asked his disciples, are you willing to be baptized in this kind of hell, in this oven, in this furnace? Will you do that with me? And that's a difficult question. And I don't think it's a question one should just answer lightly. Because when we look at the most perfect piece of clay ever, we see him kneeling in a garden, being so scared of what is about to come. And I can imagine, no, I don't think I can, sorry, I just lied. I think I might comprehend 1/1,000,000th of what he went through. The pain, the agony in his heart, to such a degree that he looked to his father and said, Father, isn't there any other way that we can do this? And I honestly have to tell you, I do not think it was the cross that scared him. I do not think necessarily it was the beatings it took, even though, humanly speaking, obviously he was scared for what's about to come. I think that the thing that weighed on his heart was that this perfect God had to take our sin on his shoulders. For the first time ever, sin would touch perfect holiness. I can imagine his fear because he is the one that came from eternity. I can imagine because he knew what was about to happen. I think one of his greatest fears was the fact that him and his father would be separated even for a moment. This is the kind of baptism that Jesus says, if you want to be used by God, if you really want God to do something in and with and through your life, are you willing to stay in the oven until you are prepared? Prepared for what? Prepared to hold substance. When you look at someone like Jacob, old lying Jacob, and we see him wrestling with God, and then we see at the end of this fight, the angel of the Lord says to Jacob, you have to let me go now because daybreak is coming. But we see this weird phrase where it says, when the angel of the Lord saw that he could not overcome Jacob. Think about that. He was quite a fighter. He said, let me go. And Jacob said, no. But then the angel, which is obviously Jesus, just touched his hip. And from that day on forward, every time Jacob would walk, he would walk with a limp. And I want to tell you something, my dear brothers and sisters. The one thing I've learned in my life is never trust a Christian without a limp. A Christian that limps is a Christian that's been with God. What does that mean? It means it is a man that knows I am a failure. but I was touched by the one that's not. God even looked that day at Jacob, and he said, Jacob, he asked him this question, what is your name? I think for the first time I remember the name of Jacob means surplanter. It means to be a liar and a deceiver. Which means that every time if his mother would call him, she would say, hey, liar, come over here. And God asks him, what is your name? God knew what his name was, but Jacob never knew what he was. And for the first time, I think he thought to himself, I am a liar. I am a deceiver. I am Jacob. But God says, I will change your name to Israel, which means prince. That is a man that failed as a piece of clay in his life. That was a man that was put on the shelf for years. And that was a man that went through the fire and got out on the other side ready to be filled with the substance that God has for him. There is an old, just comes to mind now, I actually have a whole sermon on that. There is an old Japanese technique that they use when it comes to broken stuff. Because you see, the world, when it sees something broken, they throw it away. But in Japan, they have this wonderful technique called kintsugi. You can go and YouTube it or whatever if you really want to look at it. And what they would do is they would take shattered pottery, shattered plates, and they would put these plates back together again. But this time when they put it back together, they put it together with pure gold. Go and YouTube it tonight. It's wonderful to see. How they would take this gold, it's like a gold dust that they would put in these cracks, and then they would melt this gold, and this gold will obviously become the glue that holds the broken pieces together again. And that broken, shattered pot or plate or whatever it is that they use on that day that was thrown away by the world becomes an extremely valuable art piece in the world, fixed with pure gold. And let me tell you, this is exactly what God does with us. When we are that piece of clay that has failed and failed and failed, and we will keep on failing until the day we see Him. But no matter what the failure, no matter how bad things are, remember that you have a God in heaven that can put things back again together like it has never been before. God wants to fill you with His substance, with Himself. Will you put on some soft music for me, please? Thank you. And God then asks this question. Can I maybe just rewrite it a little bit? He says, then the word of the Lord came to me, O Doxa, can I do with you as this potter has done? Declares the Lord. Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O Doxa. And I want to tell you something that I know, that we all find ourselves on different spectrums in life. We all find ourselves on different levels of happiness and joy and pain and suffering. We all find ourselves on very different spectrums of life. One can even be married, and you and your spouse will be on completely different spectrums in life. I know that there are people here tonight that don't always feel like God can use me because look what I have done. There are people that I know that are old in their age, but because of one mistake in their life, they have missed what God has had in store for them for years. My father was a very wise man. Sorry that I speak so much about him today, but today would have been his birthday. And my dad always had this to say. He said that the cemetery is the richest place you will find on earth, because that is the place where the biggest dreams were never realized. And I want to tell you, just in a few more minutes, if you would bear with me. If there are people here tonight that don't know Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you have done. God loves you. And God wants to save you tonight from your sin. If you do not get saved from your sin, you will go to hell. There is no other option. And then I also want to say this to those who are saved. I don't care what your age is, and I don't care what your history is. God has something in store for you that you cannot even begin to fathom. When we think about God, which is a very complex person to try and describe. And a lot of these things I can describe to you theologically, and I understand exactly what I'm saying, and yet it makes no sense what I'm saying, because He's just too big of a mystery to fully grasp who He is. But when we look at the Father, and the Scripture is full of it, and the Bible speaks of Jesus as the only begotten of the Father. Augustine, I believe it was, said it so beautifully. He said, Jesus, born in eternity without, begotten in eternity without a mother. Jesus, born in time without a father. Jesus was in the bosom of the Father, and the easiest way to explain it is that there was a time when Jesus stepped out of the bosom of the Father, and the Father revealed Him to us. 1 John 1 verses 1 says, What our eyes have seen, what our ears have heard, what our hands have touched, the Son of God who became a man. In the bosom of the Father was the Son, the mystery of the Son. In the mystery of the Son was the mystery of the church. And in the mystery of the church was the mystery of you. That in the bosom of the Father, in eternity, in His bosom, He had a plan for a piece of clay yet to be born. And I want you to know this. It doesn't matter where you are in life, what your failures are. It doesn't matter how old you are in life and how you feel that I will never be able to get up. I want to tell you, God has a plan for you. And God will take you back on that potter's wheel, and He will again reshape you into the form that He wants. You know, the wonderful thing about our God is that He can even take a baked piece of clay that has shattered into a million pieces and soften it again to rebuild it. There is nothing impossible with God. God can change your life tonight if you would say, I will get back on that wheel and I will let God do what God wants to do. I'm going to say a prayer. And if there is anyone here that wants to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, all you need to do, the Bible says, is that you have to believe in your heart and you have to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. that he was born of a virgin, that he lived a holy life, died, was raised from the dead, and now sits at the right hand of the Father. If you believe that, then God will save you tonight. And that's all you have to do, is go to him and say, Father, I am a sinner. And I confess that I am a sinner and I need you to save me tonight. And then he will save you. And if you do pray that prayer, well, I'm going to pray now, and you need our help in any way, you need a church to join, this will be the perfect one. We want to walk with you and we want to hold your hand and we want to help you to become the best Christian that you can. Let us pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. You are God. And I know we live in a world and in a society and in a culture where a lot of people serve a lot of different so-called gods and ancestors and spirits. But there is one God. And the name of his Son is Jesus, the Christ of God. And we believe in the Holy Trinity. And Father, if there are any people here tonight that say, Father, I come to you and I confess that I am a sinner, I pray that through the power of your Holy Ghost, you will transform their spirits tonight, that you will save them tonight from the clutches of the devil and hell. Father, we have been asking you for this for a long time. So we pray that your Holy Spirit will move and save those who need saving. And Father, then I want to pray for everyone else sitting here, maybe feeling useless, and that there is no way that God can use me. And I want to pray again through the power of your Holy Spirit that you will just put your hand on them where they are now. And that they will just hear these words coming from the throne. My son, my daughter, I have not yet given up. And we know you never will. So Father, we surrender our lives over to you again. And we ask of you to make of us an instrument that you can use. Forgive us for getting off of that wheel when things get painful. Forgive us, Father, for when we climb down that shelf, when we feel like you have forgotten us. Forgive us, Father, when we climb out of the oven, when we feel things have become too hot. We humbly return to you and say, do what you will with us. But please make us into the image of Jesus Christ. I pray that your hand will rest heavily upon everyone during this week, from this time forward, that they will constantly hear these words, I will never give up on you. Use us. Fill us with substance, that we may bring glory to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for coming tonight. I really hope that this word encouraged you and that it stirred you. And we are looking forward to Wednesday evening, 6 o'clock. We have our Bible study, 6 o'clock here. Please don't miss it, because you will miss out. I promise you that. And then Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, and Sunday evening, 6 o'clock. God bless you. Thank you.